the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 28th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Amid the United Auto Workers strike, some advocates argue that it's time to implement clean car standards.
Gary Schlack, a city council member in Allen Park, Michigan, supports the UAW workers in their quest for contracts that align with their skills, dedication, and loyalty. He says the state's automakers are committed to increasing the production of zero-emission vehicles in the next decade and intend to leverage the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to do so.
It's time for Ford, GM, and Chrysler's parent company, Stellantis, come to the table. EV vehicles, and with these EPA standards put in place, these workers are concerned that these jobs, if they go non-union, competitive wages will fall.
The Energy Department predicts EV battery manufacturing will support 10 to 13 million fully electric vehicles annually by 2030. Michigan, Georgia, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, Ohio, and Tennessee are key players in this growth, fueling job opportunities across the sector. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Transportation generates more greenhouse gases than any other sector of the U.S. economy. It makes up about 27% of total emissions and 45% of all U.S. oil consumption. Seven GOP candidates for president debated last night. The AP reports the debate comes at a critical moment in the GOP campaign, with less than 4 months before the Iowa caucuses formally launched the presidential nomination process. Meantime, CNBC reports UAW President Sean Fain criticized ex-President Donald Trump's track record with unions, as well as his Wednesday visit to a non-union company in Macomb County, where Trump went live on Newsmax about 45 minutes before the GOP debate. Ahead of the general election on November the 7th, there's an urgent push for voter education in the Magnolia State. We get more from our Daniel Smith.
In 2020, more than 1.9 million Mississippi citizens reported being registered, according to the Mississippi Secretary of State's website. AARP Mississippi State Director Kimberly Campbell says your vote counts, and it's important for Mississippians to register to vote before the deadline of October 10th so they can participate in the general election.
You can register to vote by mail, but you can always just go to the Mississippi Secretary of State's website or your county clerk, city clerk's office, or municipal court clerk's office, and you can pull down voter registration information. On there, you can fill it out. They may have an online submission, but more than likely, you're going to have to postmark that and get it in the mail.
Campbell emphasizes that Mississippi does not have early voting. She adds the state only has absentee voting under certain circumstances. She recommends people check the Secretary of State's website or call their county clerk's office for qualification information.
This is Public News Service. New Yorkers are preparing for an impending government shutdown. State officials are worried about how it could impact the work state agencies have been doing for migrants.
Meanwhile, residents are concerned about how a shutdown could affect federal benefits they receive. Make the Road Action held a press conference this week, urging Republican Representative Anthony D'Esposito to stand up to hard-right Republicans taking budget negotiations hostage. Angel Reyes Rivas with Make the Road Action says a shutdown would be financially disruptive for New Yorkers.
For Social Security and Medicare, the checks are sent out, the benefit verification as well as card issuance would cease. Also, SNAP that many low-income families use on Long Island also would, the ability to send out food stamp benefits could be affected by the shutdown.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, in New York's neighboring state, Laura Sullivan with the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice says a shutdown would deny food to infants and toddlers, reduce the number of preschoolers in Head Start, and slash the number of teachers in public schools.
New Jersey already has one of the worst racial wealth gaps in the country, about $300,000. And this will make things worse, leaving many families unable to make ends meet.
And the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles issued nearly 200,000 new license suspensions last year for not having proof of insurance, failing to pay court fines, missing child support payments, or other debt-related reasons. That's according to an investigation by the Marshall Project Cleveland and News 5 Cleveland.
The Legal Aid Society of Cleveland called debt-related suspensions a vicious cycle because the fines and fees from minor traffic stops can easily spiral into thousands of dollars. The society's senior attorney, Michael Russell, says the debts hinder whether a person can go to work, access medical care, or obtain necessities like groceries.
We're punishing drivers by taking away their licenses, not based on dangerous driving, but based on a debt they can't pay off.
Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Finally, Mike Moen poses this question. The arrival of fall has farmers transitioning to harvest season. But what if some gathered their crops with rows of solar panels right alongside them?
The agrivoltaic scene is carving out pathways for utilities and developers to reduce carbon emissions by adding more solar farms, while allowing emerging farmers who face land access issues to grow fruits and vegetables on the same property. Brian Ross leads renewable energy efforts at the Great Plains Institute, and he says it's a great example of two worlds working to benefit each other.
We're all working together to kind of take that example of local food production and try to expand it out. How can we actually put this at scale?
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.